You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with my co-host Liza, and we've been talking with Kirsten Norsling, the program director at Gilda's Club, and Debbie Deutsch, who is a patient advocate.
I would imagine that when somebody first gets the diagnosis, that there's just an outpour of support. But how do caregivers ask for help down the road when they need it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because things change and situations change and support, you know, enthusiasm changes, right? I think that continuing to check in with people is really important. I think that being open is really important. We do have, our national organization does have a program called mylifeline.org, which is an online scheduling program where you can also do all your updates, and it's really great because you can do updates so you're not telling the same story 27 times.
Sure.
Which then when it gets passed from point person A to person B to person Q is a much different story.
Yeah.
Right? So you're managing your story. And there's also a scheduling thing in there where you can ask for people to help get the kids to soccer practice. Right? You want to be at the games, but if you can avoid getting to practices all the time because you're taking care of somebody, that's an important thing. So mylifeline.org is one thing where people can schedule and like sign up for the things that you can do. It's really
right.
hard. It's really hard to ask for help.
It is.
And right. when you ask somebody to do something and they're like, no, I can't do that, that just reinforces the fact that you're in this alone.
Right.
So that's a great way, you know, people select how they get what help they need and how they get the help. And you know, if Debbie's looking for somebody to help mow the lawn on Tuesday and I have a grass allergy, but she asked me, I'm not the right person for that, but I am super, super willing to go and do just about anything.
Sure.
Go do her grocery shopping.
I was just going to say that you're probably a master at grocery shopping. Right?
Right? I'll clean the bathroom if she needs me to.
Oh, you're
good.
That's
a friend.
Yes. Yes.
So I love that. So you don't have to be a Gilda's Club affiliate. You can
you
just go on to, can you say it one more time,
yep,
please?
It's mylifeline.org.
Okay. I know a couple friends that have gone through this with their husbands, and I wish that we'd had that because we were kind of scrambling. And like you said, there's a lot in the beginning, and then there's all this awkwardness, mm-hmm. and nobody sustains it. So I think I'm going to use that one a lot. So.
Yeah. And sometimes just checking in, you mm-hmm. know, somebody's been going through something for a long time. It's like, hey, how you doing? Or, hey, let's go get tea. Or, hey, can I bring you a bottle of wine if you're a wine drinker? You know,
sure.
I mean, like just do, sometimes you just need to do something normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm getting struck too when you just said that, how are you? It's probably also giving them permission to not talk about the cancer.
Yeah. It's really right. important to ask them how they're doing. Cause it gets, right. it's like, I, you know, some people will say, I disappeared for 3 years while my partner had cancer.
Sure. Mm. Sure.
Yeah.
And really that's, Let's not do that.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, right. And so that kind of leads into what I want to ask you next. I mean, is there any way that you, from all of this experience, both personally and professionally, that you see people or families can get themselves prepared beforehand, right? So a cancer diagnosis probably comes as a shock to most people,
most times.
Right. And so is there something that, you know, you wish you could tell everybody you know and love, do this in case you ever have to face cancer?
So here's the thing. Cancer is just one of those bumps in the road sometimes, right? And you know, I think it's important for us to, number one, recognize that not all cancers are terminal. Mm.
Sure.
There are, you know, 16 million cancer survivors in the world.
Wow.
And
I just got the chills. That's awesome.
Yeah. And actually, in the United States, that's not the world. In the United States.
Okay.
And which makes it even more chilling. But
yeah.
So there's a lot of people walking around that have had a cancer diagnosis. And I think the more we just have open communication about, you know, how we are and mm-hmm. and like honest, like, how you doing? Well, you know, I mean, we're in the Midwest, right? Most people,
yes.
how you doing? You get the, I'm all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
The Midwest nice.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the reality is, and you know what? I'm really struggling right now and I'm not exactly sure how to deal with it. Can we take 2 minutes and like toss this out on the table and sift through it and pick through, see if there's any great seeds that I can germinate. That's a really great thing to have, like, that tool of great communication with your family and friends already there.
Sure. And willing to take the risk and be transparent, right?
Yeah.
Not saying everything's fine all the time when it really might not be. So right. Then you get used to, I think what I'm hearing you say is if you practice that kind of exposure and that kind of authenticity, you become more prepared in case you have to deal with something that's as intense as what a possible diagnosis of cancer could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and some people, honestly, some people get a cancer diagnosis, they do their treatment, they figure out what they need to do, and they're good to go. And it's like, great. And other people really struggle, and it trips up every trauma that they've had in their lives, every loss, every all of their challenges are like, bam, right there in their face. And as we can just learn how to take care of ourselves really, really well, you know, it's a benefit all over the place for everybody.
For everyone. Yeah. Definitely. I'm kind of taking a step back here, but I know you addressed this a little bit earlier, Debbie, about caregivers and the person receiving care when they're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. How do you help some of those people work through those times?
Well, I think that really speaks to our support groups. And our support groups, again, are professionally moderated by licensed mental health professionals. And it provides a safe place for caregivers to come together and share their experiences. And that's a fantastic organic teaching tool, truly. Mm-hmm. And it benefits the person who is sharing the story, and it benefits the people who are hearing the story.
I bet.
Okay. Yeah. How do you suggest, or how do you personally, because you guys are in this field, dance around or deal with that combination of sadness and fear when dealing with the reality of cancer?
I wouldn't use the term dance around it. I would rather encourage the thought of let's join hands and walk through this together rather than dance around it. We can get through it together.
Okay. And I mean, from your own personal experiences, how have you guys managed the sadness and fear? How have you held hands with whoever it was that you were caring for? I know you mentioned a husband, right? And a mother, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my husband had a really pretty positive cancer experience, and he was also a Gilda's Club member, and he was part of a support group, and he really benefited from that. My mother, unbelievably, was diagnosed with an advanced cancer diagnosis, and she was gone within 9 days.
Oh, wow.
That was, talk about pivots. You know, we went from, okay, what's the treatment plan, to, oh my God, do we need to talk about a long-term care facility, to literally within hours talking about hospice. It was unbelievable. And in situations like that, I can honestly say you just try to hang on. Mm-hmm. Honestly, mm-hmm. It's still to this day, it's been 5 months since this happened, but still it's hard to talk about it because all kept coming like this. And you have to realize that it's really about the patient. And, you know, a support group is a fantastic place to as Kirsten said, to kind of unpack that stuff. What do you do with that? Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes you have to share it over and over just in your own process.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes total sense. I'm sorry to hear about that loss, Debbie, and I appreciate you being so vulnerable right now, you know, with it still being so fresh. And as I was listening to what I was hearing, too, is kind of the need to just take it hour by hour, minute by minute, mm-hmm. moment by moment, right? That's right. I mean, all of the stuff we're seeing in the mental health world is mindfulness, live in the present, take it one moment at a time, because that's all you have, and that's all we know.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like you handled that well, just like watching you right now and listening to you. It seems like you have that grace of being able to do that.
I agree, and I can't even imagine the whirlwind of emotions and logistics and reaching out to the family and doing all of that in a period of 9 days. it's always so hard when these moments get, when they turn sad. I mean, there's some sadness there, but pivoting a little bit, how have you seen caregivers that just rock the role, that you're just like, oh, I wish everyone could have a person like this on their team?
Yeah. I think about one couple this was a guy who came in and he had absolutely no interest in being in a support group. He's like, nope, I'm just here for my wife. Well, mm-hmm. he showed up and sat, and, you know, and his wife had a terminal cancer, and she actually was just humor and beauty and grace all the way through. And she was just the coolest woman. Mm-hmm. But this guy was like, nope, I'm just going to sit here. I'm like, all right. And, during group, and that's exactly what he did. He sat in our library for a while, and I wasn't facilitating the group, so I just happened to stop in at the library and sit down with him. It's like, hey, yo, what's up? And we had this great conversation, and the next week he asked if he could be part of the group. And and he kept talking about how that conversation that we had in the library was just so important to him, because it's like, you guys are on this trip together, and she's the lead. And uh-huh. It's like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting that, because I've been the lead for everything up to this point. And he totally shifted how he did things, and he was just such a beautiful person through all of it. It was just amazing.
Wow. It gave me the chills again.
Me too. Yeah, there's a lot of chills
there
today.
There are a lot of chills today.
Right. And I can imagine that knowing you've had that influence and that impact on someone is got to bring you joy, right? And because this has got to be a tough job, let's be for real. And so I can hear that. Is there anything else that helps give you joy in this job that you two have?
Oh my God, I just love this job so much. I've been there for almost 14 years, and I love our community. Right. It's like, and I've always been this community person, and we call ourselves a club, and, mm-hmm. you know, and our bigger organization is the Cancer Support Community. I would love to be the Gilded Club Community, because it really mm-hmm. says more. Club just feels a little exclusive sometimes, and it's not. It's for everybody who's dealing with a cancer diagnosis. It doesn't matter, you know, what your beliefs are and where you're at. It just like, come be a part of the community. And the strength in it is just amazing. Last night we had an art show, which was our first in-person activity in 2 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, that must have been so exciting.
And one of the teens that did her art, she'd been a part of Gilda since she was 6, and she's 15. Wow. And she's like, she's looking out around the building. She's like, I grew up here.
Like, sure.
All right. That was like the cherry on the night. Totally.
Right. Exactly.
It was really
That's
cool.
great. Yeah. Debbie, anything for you specific you want to share?
Just so I think what brings us joy is just knowing that we're helping people very organically, one at a time. Yeah. And I think that the tragedy is when people feel like they have to, you know, soldier through this without getting any support or any help. So, you know, what we always say is, we are here, and it's so that no one feels that they are facing cancer alone. That is what it absolutely boils down to.
Mm-hmm. It's a great mission statement. So we've got just a moment to give you an opportunity to promote anything specific about Gilda's Club, an event, or how people can donate.
Yeah. So all of our events and donation pieces are on our website, gildasclubmadison.org.
Okay.
We have a barbecue in June. We've got Over the Edge, which is an opportunity to go over the Hilton downtown, 14 stories.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. and a run in October. And then we've got workshops coming up. Like on Monday, this coming Monday night, we got a workshop on dealing with your racing mind, and with specific tips on how to get control over that.
Oh, so, wow. I would love to attend that.
It's on Zoom at 6 o'clock.
Right.
So you can go ahead and register.
All right. Well, so a great way to find all this stuff, everybody, is at gildasclubmadison.org. Debbie, Kirsten, you guys have been a real delight today. Thank you so much for bringing yourself and your time here and sharing your stories.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.